Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for joining us in worship today. You can be seated this morning. As you came in, I hope you had a chance to grab a Thanksgiving card. I didn't want you to think that we'd forgotten Thanksgiving in our move towards Christmas, because we are moving towards Christmas. Kids, hang out with us for just a second. There's a part coming for you. I should have said that first. Kids, hang out with us for just a second. So Thanksgiving. I hope you got one of these cards on your way in. If you didn't, you can still partake in this. The exercise is just to be thankful, to express gratitude. So think of a couple things, one or five things that you're grateful for, and hang on to this, hang on to that idea. We're going to come back to that later in our message together. Christmas invitations are scattered out among the room. I pray you'll get one. You need one. Because we are making the turn towards Christmas. If that's offensive to you, I love you, and you'll get over it. We were at family dinner last week. I'm not even apologizing. I'm just kidding. We were at family dinner last Sunday at my wife's family, and the topic of conversation was, what's our white elephant theme going to be this year? So I said Bucky's, but we're going to work through that. Here's the point. We are already, and I know we're weird, but we're not weird in that we're the only ones making Christmas plans. I know you are too. We are planning for gifts and food and all of those things, and I want us to, as God's people, to be intentional planning with this. Okay, because we're making all these plans and all these conversations about gifts that might end up on Craigslist the next day, that might end up in the closet, food that we regret eating, whatever. We're making plans for many, many, many things that are good and fun, but that are not going to last. Why wouldn't we make a plan for our loved ones to hear about the greatest gift of Christmas that is eternal in Christ Jesus? The next couple of weeks, we're going to journey with these cards. So you need one of these. It's for you. Stick it on your fridge. Stick it on your mirror, wherever you're going to see it. In our assignment this week, yes, welcome back to school. This is an assignment. This assignment is that you would start to pray who God has in your circle of influence right now that needs to hear about the greatest gift, Christ Jesus, at Christmas. And so this week, this is the launch to take the card, begin to pray. Next week, we're going to set a manger out here. We're already getting the Christmas decorations out. And we're going to take time in the service next week to write down that name of the person God has put on our heart. If it's 20 people, get a bigger piece of paper. It's all good. But write that name down. We're going to place them in the manger, and we're going to begin to pray. Because we believe in God's prevenient grace, that He goes before us, He goes before our loved ones, ever drawing them to Himself. He is doing His part. We're going to do ours. So next week, we're going to write that name down. We're going to start praying. And then in the following weeks, we're going to walk it all the way through. How do you invite somebody to church? Great question. What do you do when they come? Great question. But we're going to walk through that because as we've planned to give gifts, we're going to plan to make sure that someone, that our friends, family, our loved one, hear about the greatest gift, the eternal gift in Christ this Christmas. So kids, this is also for you. Miss Stephanie and the leaders are going to keep talking about this because y'all are us too. Come on now. Invite your friends. And so make sure that you get a card. Now you can run back and catch up with your leaders in the back. They're waiting for you as we dive into God's Word in Kid City for kindergarten through fifth. All right, I love that. There's more invitations on the back. We ordered 1,000 of them, so don't think that you're going to take too many. Just plant the seeds of hope this Christmas. We're going to start a new teaching series today, and I thought about introducing it with a drum roll, you know, the brrr thing. I'm not a drummer, and so I'm going to spare you. And I wonder if a different role might not be more appropriate for us today. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, I'm wondering if an eye roll is not closer to what's coming. In case you were wondering, this is the eye roll emoji in your phone. And in case you're really wondering, if you missed this, this emoji is about this face, okay? Eye roll, please. You see, our new teaching series is on generosity. And I've been around the church long enough to know that when this topic comes up, eyes have a tendency to start rolling. Y'all didn't think I could see you in the lights, did you? Some sort of here we go again feeling arises when the conversation turns to generosity or giving or finances. But I want us to be really careful. I want us to be really careful in our response to generosity, because generosity is at the very core of who God, our good Father, is. And it's at the core of who He's called us to be as His children. So we need to be really careful if we have a oh brother feeling about generosity. Every day in our life, we are bombarded, and I do not use that word lightly. We are bombarded by advertisements. Depending on your context, studies indicate that we see or that we are bombarded with somewhere between 4,000 and 10,000 advertisements per day. That's a lot. 4,000 to 10,000 advertisements today. If you drill that in, like these things are going by us all the time, we're not even conscious of them. Studies say that we are conscious, like we engage with 100 advertisements per day. 100. We cannot even show up at a gas pump anymore without being solicited to buy something by this little TV screen yelling at us about their product. Do those screens aggravate anybody else? Man, I hate those things. I mean, the volume's like louder than the TV at grandma's house, and they're trying to sell you everything that you can imagine. Like 10 or 15 of those 4,000 advertisements come at a fill-up at Wawa. And so then you show up to church on Sunday, and generosity is the subject. Great. Here we go again. So, Pastor, what are you doing? Look, I'm starting here addressing our response, addressing the world we live in, because until we can get beyond thinking that generosity is all about God getting something from us or the preacher reaching in your wallet, we're never going to understand the truth that generosity is that God wants something for us. He wants something for us. You see, all the advertisements that we're hit with, man, they want something. They're trying to get us to buy something, to vote a certain way, something, but that's not the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 50. We're not going to spend a lot of time there. You're welcome to turn. Text is on the screen. Psalm 50, this is the Lord speaking to His people Israel concerning their Old Testament offerings, what they were bringing to worship Him. He says at verse 9, "I have no need of a bull from your stall or goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle of 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains and the insects in the field are mine." Hunters, every deer, duck, and squirrel you're going to see this year already belongs to the Lord. Every cow in the field, every bird on the feeder, every fish in the ocean, every bug on the windshield, it's all His. It's His. He doesn't need anything from you. He's already got it. You see, God wants something for you. He wants something for you. He wants His generous heart to take root in us and be lived out into the world that which we live in. That's what generosity is all about. Our series begins today, seeking to understand, trying to wrap our minds around the lavish generosity of the Lord, and to understand that His generosity is our model for life and giving. So today, are you willing to put your eye roll aside for a minute and lean in to what God has for you in generosity? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, forgive me, forgive us, Lord, when we hear of the topic generosity and have a deep sigh or an eye roll. Lord, because it's much, much more than another advertisement at the gas pump. Lord, this is about how we as your children live, about how your love is alive and lived through our actions every single day. That's generosity. So God, we want to reframe our thinking on this today by your word and by your spirit. So will you do that work in us today? In Jesus' name, amen. So what is generosity? Generosity, most simply defined, is the quality of being generous. To be generous is to be liberal in giving. Literally, it can mean to live or to be open-handed, as opposed to mine, it's just open. That's generosity. Perhaps my favorite definition is that generosity is the voluntary, no arm twisting, the voluntary, unselfish giving of money, time, attention, or other resources, especially more than what's expected or more than usual. That's generosity. We can be generous with and through a lot of different things. We can be generous with our time. In our busy, overcrowded schedules, we can carve out time to serve someone else, to serve others. We can be generous with our talents. We can use our abilities, our gifts, our skill sets to serve others. We can be generous with our treasure, with our money, our material resources. We can also be generous with our touch, with our emotional availability. We can offer ourselves to a friend who is hurting or grieving. That's a way to be generous. I do want to take a pause here to note that generous is not a code word. If you've been around the church for a while, this generosity is not a code word for giving your tithe. Okay, we're talking about two different things. You see, the generosity is about a heart posture. The tithe is a prescribed order of worship that the Lord has given us. You see, the tithe shows up early in the story of God's people, even before the time of Moses. People are coming with their tithe to worship the Lord. Then we get into the law of Moses. He does prescribe the giving of tithes and offering. The 10%, the first 10% of what we earn, what we gain, is to be given in worship to the Lord. God took this pretty seriously. There was a time in the story of God's people, the nation of Israel, when they stopped giving their tithe, when they stopped showing their allegiance and love to him through giving. God said in that moment, "My people are robbing me." Now push pause there for a second. Has anyone ever had anything stolen from them? I mean, a crayon, a tree stand, a car, somebody broken into your house. How does that feel? Like you feel violated, you feel frustrated, you feel, ugh. God says, my people are robbing me through not worshiping with tithe. He takes this seriously. You see what it's about, again, cattle of a thousand hills, it's not about the money. Because if you start to think, well, Pastor, if I'm going to start giving 10% of my income, my first and my best, like I'm going to have to rearrange some things. I'm going to have to think through my trips to Starbucks and Bass Pro. I'm going to have to start to align and rebudget to bring my life into alignment with Jesus. Yes. Now you got it. It's not about the money. It's about bringing all of our life into alignment with the person of Jesus and showing our allegiance to him. Yes, through our giving. That's a tithe, the prescribed order of worship, a way of showing allegiance. Generosity is a heart posture, a condition where we take on the heart of our Father and begin to live it out in our world. This idea of generosity, it's really all from him. It's all starting with God the Father because he is extravagantly generous. You got your Thanksgiving card, those of you that were able to grab that on your way in. Thanksgiving is a great time to reflect, to remember, to give thanks for blessing in our life. Amen. And so I wonder today, this is audience participation, so whoop. What are some things on your card today? What are you thankful for? If you don't have a card, just lay it on me. What are you thankful for today?
Family?
Friends? Mom and dad? Life? Shelter? All right. I said I'm going to be unsanctified enough to say I'm appreciative or grateful for fishing. I love it. Hold that thought. Your Thanksgiving card. Well, let me ask you, is there anything good on your list? Anything that brings richness or fullness to life? Yeah? Let me read a passage of Scripture to you out of James. This is James 1, verse 17. Anything good on your card? Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. So as we seek to understand the Lord's heart for generosity, or his heart of generosity, we can take a moment to realize that every good gift in our life comes from him. It's all his. He's responsible for that. Every good and perfect gift is from above. So as you look at your list, as you think about the things that you're thankful for, you are literally holding and processing God's generosity to you. He's given it to you. That's the Father's heart for generosity. It all starts with him. And friends, he gives us more than just good things to enjoy. Let's continue one more verse in that chapter. It says he chose to give, again, give. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. You see, God chose, out of his generosity, out of the overflow of his heart, he chose to offer us new life in Christ, who's the word of truth. That we could have hope, that we could have peace, that we could have forgiveness, that we could be saved is a gift of God, and I dare say it is the greatest gift of God. That's generosity. You see, God's love compelled him to give more than just good things. It compelled him to give his very best, Christ Jesus. Any football fans in the room this morning? All right, more than first service. Way to go. Some of y'all may have put that on your card. No judgment here. People tend to get involved, like go nuts with football, don't they? I mean, painted faces, different colors, outfits, cheers, the whole bit. Some people even go to the effort to take signs to the game. I love these things. Like this one. 4 years experience, coach, put me in. I'm assuming the quarterback was not doing great that day. Maybe you see something like this. Don't care about tricks or treats, just a Bengals win. Are the Bengals in it? Are they not doing great or what? They ain't never. Shots fired. Here's another one. This is kind of about my level of engagement. I just hope everybody has fun. But what about this classic? Have you ever seen that at a sporting event? Baseball game, maybe, behind home plate. What's the message? What's the message? It's John 3:16. For God so loved that he what? He gave. You see, I think we so much see that sign and we have an endearing feeling like, oh, that's a message about God's love. And it is. But it is every bit as much a message about God's generosity as it is his love. And it shows up at sporting events all over the place. John 3:16 reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." The Lord loves you so much that he gave. And you see, in God's kingdom, his love is always accomplished and accompanied by action. The Bible tells us that we were all dead in sin, that we were unable to save ourselves. We were stuck in this path, stuck in this rut, that good works and trying harder and trying to be a nicer person, we couldn't even give our way out of it. We were stuck. We were dead. That's what Scripture says. But God... But God, who loved the world, who loved everyone, gave his absolute best, his one and only Son, as a sacrifice for our sins. He gave the best of himself so we could be in relationship with him. That's generosity. He didn't have to do that. He chose to. He gave us a way. Verse 17 of that same chapter says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." You see, the generosity of God's heart is good news for the whole world, and it's his model for his children, you and me. That we too, as we receive our life from him, would also model our generosity after his. That's what this is all about. That our love would be accompanied by action in giving, giving of ourselves, our time, our talents, our treasures, our touch. Not giving because we have to, but because we get to. Maybe it's welling up so much inside of us, we just can't help it. It just overflows. And friends, you don't have to look far this morning to see this in action. If you were to take a short trip down that curtain hallway and peek in, don't do this, they'll be concerned. But if you were to peek in that window right back there, you would see two or three leaders in there living, serving out of the generosity of their heart. People that are leveraging their lives, their talent, their touch, their emotional availability into our children that they might know the love of Jesus. It's right there. You could really embarrass the guys at the soundboard and turn around and look at them and wave, because that's generosity. The worship team, Next Steps, hospital, you see this expression all around us today. That's generosity. There's people in the room today who have given dozens of rides to people who needed to get to UVA or to AMC. That's generosity. There's a group of people last week that went to a yard in Harrisonburg to pick up trash because there's a person there who was grieving, just stricken by grief and needed to do something. So generosity leaped into action. You don't have to look far. But you see, it's the expression of God's heart lived through us. That we would be a living, walking, talking expression of God's heart in our world. That's what God wants for you. Over the next couple weeks, band, if you all want to come, or who's playing keys, over the next couple weeks, we're going to continue to explore our generous God's will for his people. This journey, this study is not just focused on giving our money. It's about a lifestyle of generosity where we give of ourselves in all areas to others. We're going to see that God loves a cheerful giver. Remember, I said no arm twisting here. God loves a giver, a generous person who doesn't do acts of generosity reluctantly or out of compulsion, but out of joy. Out of joy. We're also going to seek to understand our calling as a church, that we together, as the bride of Christ, the body, that we are to give ourselves together to our community and beyond as an expression of God's love. That's generosity. As we've seen this week, the generous heart of God, and that could be its whole series, really. I want us to make space to respond. Just to kind of sit in this truth, to respond to God's lavish, over-the-top generosity. And we're going to do that in two ways. The first way we're going to respond is by receiving. Receiving. Jesus was gathered with his disciples the night before he was to be crucified. And he gave them in that moment, he gave us too, a way to remember the greatest gift, him. The text reads in Luke 22, 19 and 20, says, "And he, Jesus, took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" You see, in this moment, Jesus was giving his friends a way to remember him, a gift to remember his body to be broken and his blood that would be shed. You see, Jesus took these everyday, ordinary elements and he transformed them into a sacrament that we are invited into today. And we're going to do that here in just a moment. We believe that there's something special in this sacrament, that Christ is present with us by the Holy Spirit as we partake and we remember him. You see, this wafer and the juice, they're reminders for us of the greatest gift ever given, the body and blood of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Do you have eternal life today? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You see, we're starting here because until we have his transforming grace within us, God-shaped generosity is always going to be beyond us, because it's a heart condition. It's a transformed heart in his image. Maybe you're here today and you've never received that gift. You've never received the gift of Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Why wait? It's the greatest gift you'll ever receive. It's been given. Will you receive it? You say, "Well, Pastor, how do I do that?" It's really easy. You say, "Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you came, you were fully God and fully man, that you died on a cross for my sins. And Lord, I am a sinner. Like Paul said, I'm the worst. But Lord, I need you. I need your life within me. So will you forgive me? Will you birth your spirit within me and save me today?" That's it. You believe in your heart that he is who he says he is. His Spirit's going to bear witness to that salvation and to grow and transform your heart into his likeness. So you can pray. We're going to receive here in just a moment. You don't have to be a member of this local church to receive the elements. We just ask that you be sincere, that you be genuine or serious in pursuing right relationship with Jesus. So would you stand with me? I would invite you in just a moment. The elements are prepared in the back. There is a gluten-free option in the back. A table in the back is prepared, and a smaller one up here to the front, to my left, to your right. Would you go and get the elements and return to your seat? We're going to receive this greatest gift together in just a moment. So would you move now? And if you need help, you tap the person beside you and ask for their help. But would you move and grab the elements and return to your seat? We'll receive them in just a moment. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord Jesus, I thank you for the gift of communion, where, Lord, we get to engage not just our minds, but, Lord, we get to engage our sense of smell, feel, taste, as we remember the greatest gift ever given, your broken body and shed blood. So, Lord, all that you meant that night in giving this gift of communion, when you looked at your disciples around that table, Lord, all that you meant, may that be true for us this morning as we prepare to receive. That we would be reminded of you. So would you take the wafer this morning, representing the body of Christ broken for you. May it preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. Let's receive. If you would take the cup, the juice representing the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you. May it preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. Let's receive. Lord Jesus, as we have received these elements, may it be more than juice and a wafer, but Lord, may we experience you. Lord, overflowing in our life and in our heart. We need you, Lord. Thank you for coming. Thank you for making salvation possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to conclude here in just a moment in a song of worship, but our next response, I'm going to invite you to give. Now, this is not a bait and switch. Some of you are thinking, aha, you are going to. Nope. I'm inviting you to give. Because if we were to lean into our faith, to grow our faith, to know Jesus more, we would put practices in our life, wouldn't we? Start reading the scripture, start praying, worshiping. Well, friends, if we're going to live out and work in God's heart of generosity, we're going to have to put that into practice. We're going to have to start being generous. And so that's why I'm asking you today to give something. Now, hold on. That something's really broad. You might be here today and you might want to give to the local church. There's a black box in the back. There's envelopes there. Help yourself. Some of you might know someone that's really hurting right now. And you could give them a call. Say, hey, I was thinking of you this morning. How are you doing? Can I pray for you? That's generosity. You might be here this morning and you're sensing that I need to start serving. And so you could serve in Kids Men or on the tech team or hospitality, wherever, but you could go and just to Next Steps and say, I'm going to give today by beginning to serve. You can do that. Miss Stephanie's back there. You want to invest in future generations? Wow. What an opportunity to serve. You might want to log online and give a donation to EAUS, to Hope Distributed, to the Salvation Army. It's not about what you do. Just do it. Give something today. Give something. Let's worship the Lord together.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.